to do a new work in you. Somebody say amen. Not an old work, but a new work. You came in here with some old shoes on, but he put some new ones on you already. You came in here walking slow, but he already speeded you up in the name of Jesus. You know God, he teaches us through other things that he has planted here. Amen? You see, the eagle, what he does, what she does with her eaglets, she kicks them out of the nest. She kicked them out of the nest so they can learn to fly. See, you're complaining about what God has done to you, why you're going through some things, but he kicked you out of the nest so you can learn to fly. God is a good God. His intentions are good and honorable. So when he kicks you out of the nest, it's so you can fly. If you can't fly, he wouldn't kick you out of the nest. But he made you. He knows you. He knows you can fly. Some of us have got to fly. He's given us wings to fly. Oh, hallelujah. He didn't want you to be a chicken with wings on the ground. He wanted you to fly like eagles. Oh, hallelujah. Deuteronomy 32 and 11 says, like an eagle that stirs up its nest and hovers over its young, that spreads its wings to catch them and carries them on its pinions. Don't you know if God has kicked you out of the nest to fly and you falter a little bit, he'll pick you up with his wings and carry you to safety. We're so scared to do what God has told us to do. But I tell you something. Those devil lovers, they do exactly what the devil tells them to do. I know that everybody is talking about this K2 thing, but let me tell you, it brought a chuckle to me. And you said, well, Pastor, how could you say that? I'm going to tell you the reason why. Because he brought me back to me. Amen? Because they said there was over 100 instances. Amen? But on the news, they said some people went and got cured. And went back out and did it again. Because the devil instituted in their mind that they're going to keep doing the same thing until we get it right. I used to do the same thing over again. You used to do, and maybe you're still doing, the same thing again, saying you're going to get it right the next time. But when it comes to God, just as soon as there's a little fault, a little bit of failure, we're ready to quit. We don't have that determination. But God is saying this morning that it's time to get that determination. It's time to change that mindset. It's time to get it right. It's time to move over into a new season. All that you need to do is submit yourself under the control of God. Hallelujah. Just submit and surrender to his will. Do you want to know why you don't get into a new season? Because you don't want to submit to his will. You don't want to surrender. Surrender does not mean that you're conquered. Surrender means that you got something, you better do something different. If you want to live, you got to do something different. There's prison war. Many times they have surrendered. They surrender because they wanted to live. If you want to live, you have to surrender to the will of God. Surrender doesn't mean that you're a failure. It just means that you got to do something different. But we keep going back. Keep doing the same old things. Hallelujah. We're looking in the life of Jeremiah this morning. And Jeremiah did not want to surrender. Hallelujah. He came up with all of these excuses. In Jeremiah 1:11-12, it says, the word of the Lord came to me. And it says, what do you see, Jeremiah? He said, I see a branch of an almond tree. I replied, the Lord said to me, you have seen correctly, for I am watching to see that my word is fulfilled. Hallelujah. You see, Jeremiah only saw an almond tree. That's all he saw because he was in the physical. And sometimes God is moving us, and all we see, it was in the physical. But let me tell you something about the almond tree. That almond tree is the first tree to convert after the winter, to start blooming, making people know that it's a new season. Hallelujah. So Jeremiah saw the almond tree, but God is saying, no, it's a new season. Hallelujah. What you're going through, you're looking at things like you're down and you're depressed, but God is saying, no, it's time for a new season. Just because you can't pay rent wherever you at, it's time for you to move. Because God can pay that bill. He can get it paid. But maybe it's time for you to move. That place ain't big enough for you. It's small. That God didn't bless that house for you no longer. It's time for him to bless you bigger. I got a big God who got big things that he wants to give to a big individual that's small enough to be humble enough to accept what it is he has to give. We talk about our credit all the time. But let me tell you something. Don't you know that if you go into bankruptcy and you clear your debt, all of a sudden they start offering you things again? But there's certain people who say, they can't call me bankrupt. I can't go through that. I can't have that on my record. But God, he wipes everything clean. There are some people here today. The enemy has told you you'll never be anything because you got something on your record. But I'm here to tell you this morning that God will wipe it clean and you just move on into that new season. Forget about what man has told you. Jeremiah said, but Lord, I can't do what you said because I'm too young. Well, if God can use a donkey, he could use a young person. I'm glad the young people are in here today because God can use you. Don't look at me. He can use you. You go to school and you testify to somebody about the goodness of the Lord, about how something that was bad in your life, God has turned it around. Whatever they're thinking in their mind, they can have a new mind, a new choice, another alternative, because just because of what you said. Jeremiah had a 40-year ministry, and he did exactly what God told him to do. But he didn't do it without a fight. He didn't do it without fear. He didn't do it without double thinking about, am I really doing the right thing? You have to know the voice of God. We're so busy listening to the voice of man, but you got to know the voice of God. Hallelujah. You know, there's somebody in here, sitting here this morning, with a phone in their hand. And every time she tells me something, she looks at me and she says, you're thinking with your carnal self. Don't you know that God can do anything? And sometimes I got to jump back and catch myself and say, yes, God can do anything. Every time she says something, I don't always agree. But I must agree with God. And I have to discern, is it God speaking through somebody else to shut me up? Sometimes there's things going on in the church, and I got to get shaken up so I'll know God has already revealed it to me, but things start happening, and it's time to put it in place. Church, we've been sitting too long. We've been doing the same thing too long. We've been running around too long. We've been accepting those that we like too long. But it's time to move into a new season. There's people that are dying. There's people that are troubled. There's people that are going through things. And we have to open our eyes to see what God is showing us. Because we are sent here. Wait a minute. What is your plan and what is your purpose? What is your plan and what is God's purpose for your life? He didn't just make you and create you to do nothing. He made you to worship him. He made you to witness for him. Amen? I wish life was hunky-dory, but it's not. We got work to do. We got a lot of work to do. And it doesn't make a difference how long you have left. On your dying bed, you can be a witness. On your dying bed, you can be a witness. Because the world and the enemy is going to expect you to be a certain way. But when you realize all that he took you through and all that you brought him, that he brought you from, you'll realize that your whole life is a testimony. I sat up with a friend of mine. We go back over 50 years yesterday. And I'm looking across the table from him, and he's saying, I don't understand why God chose me. We're looking at his little brother, about 10 years younger than him. He's not a vegetable, but he's had a few strokes. He's got sugar diabetes. He had a few toes cut off. They told me the other day they found him in the bathroom laid out for 2 hours. He's sitting up there and he's just staring at us. And I'm looking at him because he's not the young man that I knew. And his brother is saying, I don't know why God chose me. After all the things that I've done that he's never done. All the things that I've been through that he's never been through. We don't have an answer for that. But then again, we do have an answer for that. The answer is two words. It is, but God. Whatever it is that you're going through today, it's not as bad as it could have been. We all got people that we know that are no longer here. Some are older and some are younger. Some are in better physical condition than us, and some are in worse condition than us physically. But the reason why you're here is that God chose you to be here. Because as long as you're here, God has a purpose and a plan for your life. This young man, I don't know why he's here today, but I'm telling you right now, that God has a purpose and he has a plan for your life. You can choose to take it or deny it. I don't know why you came here today, but God has a plan for your life. You can even take it or deny it. Everybody in here, God has a plan for your life. You can even take it or you can deny it. And because you deny it, it don't mean that you're going to die tomorrow. It don't mean that. You can live a long time, but what kind of life will you live? You can live a long time here on earth, but what kind of life will you live in eternity? Long life does not mean blessings. You can live to 100. It don't mean that you're blessed with a long time. The songwriter writes, only what you do for Christ will last. Don't you know, only what you do for Christ will last. You could build an empire of money. It's not going to last. You could be the biggest womanizer that you want to be. It's not going to last. You could be the biggest womanizer, man womanizer, but it's not going to last. You can have houses. You can have temples. You can have gold. You can have all of these treasures of this earth, but it's not going to last. Oh, hallelujah. It's time to shift your thinking. It's time to shift into a new season. Amen? When God wanted to use Jeremiah, he pointed out a couple of things to him. You see, you're going to say, well, Pastor, you don't know what I've gone through. You don't know what I've been through. You don't know where I'm at. But I tell you what God says. He said to Jeremiah, I knew you when you was in your mother's womb. Because you're not dying for pastor. You're not working for pastor. You're not witnessing for pastor. You're witnessing for God. So each and every one of us, he knew you in your mother's womb. That means he knew what you were made of. He knew where your personality was going to go. He knew what temptation the enemy was going to put in front of you. He knew the limitations that you were going to say, I can't do this. But in scripture, it says, I can do all things. I can do all things. Not some things. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I can't stop smoking. Oh, yes, I can. Because I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I can't stop drinking. Oh, yes, you can. Because I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I can't deal with being in this marriage. Oh, yes, you can. Because I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me. I can't get a job. Oh, yes, you can. Because I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me. I can't stand this person over here. But I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me. Don't you understand that it's really not about you? When you make it all about him, then you can do all things through Christ. When God called Moses, he had to shift the season in Moses' life. Amen? And Moses had to accept that shift. Let me tell you a little bit about Moses, which you already know. Don't you know that he was a murderer? He was a murderer. But God said, I have plans for you. I got purpose for your life. You need to lead other sheep outside of these sheep that you're leading right now. I have a generation. I have a population. I have a people for you to lead. Somebody in here today, I want you to know that God has some sheep for you to lead. He has a purpose for your life. He wants you to stop looking at this little thing that you're doing and recognize this enormous thing that he's got for your life. There's somebody in here that can go down to the green and give out a pamphlet and say, you don't have to live this way. Don't you know that is somebody's son and somebody's daughter laying out there? If it was your son and if it was your daughter, would you not? Somebody who's supposed to be in the will of God, somebody who's supposed to have the anointing, somebody who has a word to share, somebody to say, I know what you're going through. I've been there. But look at what God has done for me. Just because they're in that situation don't mean that they're a bad person. Here comes the ouch time. There are some churches, there are some people, quote unquote, that will do some things that are ungodlike. I didn't say unchristian. I said ungodlike. That maybe some of those people laying out on that green wouldn't dare do because they have good hearts. Sometimes it's just disappointment and they're laying there. Sometimes it's frustration and they're laying there. Sometimes it's opportunities that they didn't get and they're laying there. You don't know the reason why they're laying there. But out of situations like that, they have become doctors. People have become lawyers. People have become directors. People have become owners of businesses. So you can't look at a person or where they're at and know where they're going to be. You can't do that because we are not the author and the finisher of our faith. God is. So when somebody calls you a name, you let them know that they don't have the pen to your life. They don't write the pages. They don't have the final say. Who has the final say? Who has the final say? Jehovah has the final say. Hallelujah. Another way to put it, we say, like, you ain't the boss of me. People try to tell you what you can and you can't do. You ain't the boss of me. We have to see things through the eyes of God. We got to look at God's perspective and God's point of view. You see, life is a matter of perspective. So I want to know, how do you follow God's perspective? You look up, you don't see God. So how do you look into his eyes? How do you see his perspective? With prayer. With prayer. With prayer. That's how you see what he wants you to see. Hallelujah. That's how you see what God wants you to see. When we see with our own eyes, we see things we don't want to deal with. But when you look through God's perspective, when we pray, there's a different set of eyes that open up. All of a sudden, the lenses that covers our eyes are moved. Hallelujah. They're moved, and you see what you see you never saw before. Hallelujah. In order to see, in order to get to this other side, in order to move into this new season, we have to see through the eyes of God. We have to see that we're not just moving from side to side, but we have to pray. And we can't waste energy with the stuff that we do daily that just don't make sense. How many of us waste our days and waste our precious time doing things that just don't make no sense? We do that and then we turn around doing what we could have did hours ago. We argue, we fuss, we fight, and we end up doing it anyway. What are you kicking up the fuss for? What are you kicking up the dirt for? If it's God ordained, you need to just go ahead and do it. God has precepts and principles that we have to follow. And He don't waffle on those. God makes it plain. He doesn't change his mind. Do you know that? He don't change his mind. Because either you're going to do it or you're not. You change your mind. We change our mind. Amen? But God doesn't change his mind. If we could see how God sees, we would realize that there's no problem. There's no situation that cannot be conquered. Amen? Sometimes I think that we really do not understand what we are dealing with here. The enemy can only conquer things here right now. He can conquer speaking to our minds. He can conquer getting us to do things that we don't want to do and stuff like that. He conquered Adam. He conquered Eve in their minds and everything. He conquered Cain, Abel. We had the first murder. He conquered Ananias and Sapphira stealing from God. He conquered all of these people. Satan conquered all of those people in their minds for a time. He conquered all of us in our minds for a time. He's conquering some of you right now in your minds. Right now. Satan can only conquer in your life right now, the present. God determines eternity. Satan could not conquer death. And once he couldn't conquer death, he could not conquer eternity. So when you look at death, that is the thing that gives most people fear, the fear of death. And I know that there's people say, I ain't scared of dying until you start dying. You ain't scared of a bullet till you get a bullet. All of that trash talking stops. People say they ain't scared of sickness and illnesses until they get it. They always want to tell you what you need to do when you got it, but let them get it. Satan is always trying to tell you to do with your life because he don't really care about you. And if you listen to him, he'll run you right down that road to ruin. The message that God always gives is about life and life more abundantly. It's about eternity. It's about making decisions to make your life better. Not just what you have right now, but life after life, life after death. The world wants to tell you that the more money you get, the better off you're going to be. That's what they start putting in our brain as we are little kids. We start to feel that the more money we have, the more power, the more things we'll have. Those things do not make you happy. See, everybody thought Biggie was just rapping when he says, more money, more problems. But he got more money, he had a lot of more problems. Amen? When you don't have no money, you ain't got no problem. Nobody knocking on your door. Nobody trying to sell you something. You don't have to go buy something to keep up with the Joneses. And I'm not advocating not having money. I'm just saying the less you have, the better. Because there's contentment in being broke. I want you to know that there's contentment in being broke with Jesus. See, when you're broke with Jesus, that means that you're humble. That you're not so prideful. You don't have to stand up against things that just don't make no sense. But the enemy fills you full of pride. You're not humble. So when something comes up against you, you got to fight. Because you have this image. I don't want to get into images right now. But you have this image. How many like the image they have of themselves? Come on. Come on, raise your hand. Look, I know that lots of you have loved the image that you have of yourself. You want me to tell you the reason why? Because when you look in the mirror, you like what you see. But you have images of yourself that you like. But there's another image. It's not just the image that you have of yourself. It's the image that you want other people to have of you. And we work on the image we want other people to have of us. So much so that we forsake that we were made in the image of God. And our whole purpose should be working towards that image of God. Don't know why I went there, but for some reason I went there. We don't want people to see that we go through things. So we put a little more, you know, when you pray and you're tired and you're doing things, we get these little lumps and things under our eyes, so we put on a little more makeup to cover it. Sometimes we go struggle and we get into a physical struggle and we put a little more makeup on it. Sometimes we don't have enough to eat, so we make sure. I've seen people fill things into their shirt to look like they have a stomach, that they've been eating and they're prosperous, because we don't want people to know what it is that we're going through. You hear today that sometimes the pain that we go through is a process that we have to go through in order to grow. No pain, no gain. How do we want to grow if we don't have pain? Do you remember when you were little and your feet were hurting? It's because your feet were growing and your shoes were too small. God wants to grow some of us, and we're running around in the same shoes, but the shoes that we're wearing is too small. So you cry out in pain, but you got to get some bigger shoes. Some of us are going through things right now. We're crying out in pain, and God is trying to get our attention. Get some new shoes. What are these new shoes? It's more responsibility. It's more things that he's got for you to do. It's taking the shoes and putting on some boots, because you're going to be stepping in some stuff. The writer of Hebrews said, endure hardship as discipline. Discipline always seems painful rather than pleasant at the time. But later, it yields the peaceful fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it. We are supposed to be a righteous people. We're supposed to be disciplined. But we don't have the discipline that God requires for us. Because the scripture just said that righteousness requires discipline. Don't you know that man's, our own perspective, binds us to where God, not to where God wants us, but to where the devil wants us. That's why I had you move today. Because I wanted you to get another perspective in this new season. Because God's perception and his perspective will free us. We need to be free this morning. We got some things going on. Am I the only one got some things going on? Or do we have some things going on? 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 That stuff going on is just a distraction. It ain't gonna last forever. But if you put your perceptive in man's perception, you think it's gonna last forever. But God is gonna free you this morning. God is gonna free somebody this morning. Somebody's gonna be free, and to be free with God is to be free indeed. Somebody's gonna be loose this morning. What you came in here with is gonna be gone by the time that you leave. Let us stand this morning. Oh, hallelujah. Give the Lord a hand.